الحمد لله رب العالمين الذي من على المؤمنين إذ بعث فيهم رسولا من أنفسهم يتلو عليهم آياته ويزكيهم ويعلمهم الكتاب والحكمة والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على سيدنا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأولاده وأزواجه وأهل بيته ومن اهتدى بهديه واقتدى بسنته إلى يوم الدين أما بعد مولاي صلي وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم جزى الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله. On Thursday morning, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's illness had intensified and he instructed his family members to pour water of 7 water skins over him in order to reduce the fever. Thereafter, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went out holding the hand of his cousin Sayyiduna Fadl bin Abbas radiallahu anhuma, whilst his blessed head was bound with a bandage. Due to the severe headache which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was suffering from, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam instructed Sayyiduna Fadl radiallahu an to call out for the Sahaba radiallahu anhum and to summon them to the masjid. When the Sahaba radiallahu anhum arrived, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam delivered the very last khutbah of his life. The last khutbah that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had delivered during his life was the khutbah that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had delivered on this occasion. Sayyiduna Uqba bin Amir radiallahu an says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam commenced by making special dua for the shuhada of Uhud, for the martyrs of Uhud. It was the noble habit of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to regularly visit the shuhada of Uhud. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam now made dua for them. كَالْمُوَدِّعِ لِلْأَحْيَاءِ وَالْأَمْوَاتِ. It was as if Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was bidding farewell to those that were living passed on. The question is that those that were living, we understand why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would bid farewell to them. But those that had passed on, why would Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bid farewell to them when he was going to meet with them? When he would leave this world, he would meet with those that had passed on, he would meet the shuhada of Uhud. So why was Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bidding farewell to them? So this was the last dua that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would make for them whilst in this world. Therefore Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bid farewell to them in this manner. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ascended the minbar and he said to the sahaba radiallahu anhum, inni bayna aydikum farat wa ana alaykum shaheed, that I am the one who will precede you, I will go before you, I am your forerunner and I will bear testimony in your favor. Wa inna mu'idakum al-hawd, and our appointed meeting place is the hawd al-kawthar, the pond of Kawthar. And whilst I am here, I can see the Hawd-e Kawthar, I can see the pond of Kawthar. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam expressed the greatest fear that he had for the ummah. In this narration of Sayyiduna Uqba bin Amir radiallahu anhu, he only makes mention of this which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned during this khutbah, although other narrations mention many other details. Uqba bin Amir radiallahu anhu says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, inni lastu akhsha alaykum an tushriku ba'di, walakinni akhsha alaykum ad-dunya an tanafasu fiha wa taqtatilu fatahliku kama halaka man kana qablakum. That my greatest fear for my ummah is not that my ummah will leave the fold of Islam altogether and they will go back to shirk, they will go back to idol worship, as they were worshipping idols before me being sent to them. This is not my fear that they will revert to idol worship. However, my greatest fear that I have for my ummah is أَخْشَى عَلَيْكُمُ الدُّنْيَا. My fear is the fear of material, the fear of dunya, the fear of the material possessions of this world. أَن تَنَافَسُوا فِيهَا, that you will become so consumed with material and with the possessions of this world that you would begin to compete with one another in acquiring the possessions of this world. وَتَقْتَتِلُوا, and this competition for acquisition of material will lead to you fighting with one another. Fatahliku, and this will lead to your destruction. Kama halaka man kana qablakum, as it had led to the destruction of the people of the past. Uqba bin Amir radiallahu anhu says, this was the very last time that I saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And on this last occasion, this was the message that he had taken from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and passed on to the ummah, the fear of material, the fear of dunya. Normally our greatest fear is the fear of poverty. What's going to happen to my children after I am gone? They must be financially stable. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's fear for the ummah was not poverty. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's fear was the abundance of material. And we see it today in the world with the abundance of material and the complications that have come about when people become so consumed by material. One is using material because it's a means. We require it, we need to use it. But then becoming so consumed by it that now it becomes the deciding factor in our life. Our relationships depend on material. We will keep a good relationship with a person based on material. If I do not receive any material benefit from even my parents, then I will neglect my parents, I will not take care of them, I will not enjoy a good relationship with them. Siblings begin to fight with another. Sometimes a child is fighting with his parent because of material, because of dunya. Therefore Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam expressed that this is the greatest fear that he has for his ummah. In other narrations, other details have been mentioned. For example, Abu Sa'id Khudri radiallahu anhu says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, إِنَّ اللَّهَ خَيَّرَ عَبْدًا بَيْنَ الدُّنْيَا وَبَيْنَ مَا عِنْدَهُ فَاخْتَارَ مَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. That Allah gave a choice to one of His servants. The choice was between living in this world or going and meeting up with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and choosing that which is by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this servant of Allah chose what is by Allah. He chose the meeting of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke generally that Allah gave this choice to one of his servants. Abu Sa'id radiallahu anhu says that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu began to weep. He says, we're wondering what's wrong with this old man. Why is he crying? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is speaking in general about one of his servants who was given a choice. But Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is crying. He says, later on we realize that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was the most knowledgeable of us because he realized that this servant that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was speaking about was none other than his own self. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, seeing Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu in this condition, he comforts Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and he says, Ya Aba Bakrin la tabki. Inna amanna an-nasi alayya fi suhbatihi wa malihi Abu Bakrin. O Abu Bakr, do not cry. The one who showed me the most amount of kindness, the one who was the most kind to me, with regards to his companionship and with regards to his wealth, he spent so much of his wealth upon me. The one who was like this was Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. وَلَوْ كُنْتُ مُتَّخِذًا خَلِيلًا غَيْرَ رَبِّي لَاتَّخَذْتُ أَبَا بَكْرٍ خَلِيلًا. If it was possible for me to take a bosom friend and a very close friend besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Abu Bakr would have been this very, very close friend of mine. Khalil refers to that person who is the closest to a person. Khulla is a love which cannot be shared between two people. It is reserved for only one person. The deepest love that a person has in his heart, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that because this love of mine is reserved only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I cannot give this love to anyone else. However, if this love could have been given to anyone else, this love would have been given to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. But inna sahibakum khalilullah, I am the bosom friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, I enjoy a relationship of brotherhood and a relationship of love of Islam with Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advised the muhajireen regarding taking good care of the Ansar. After his demise, to take good care of the Ansar. And he says that the Ansar are the special people whom I turn to for my support. They supported me. So this should not be forgotten, the great support that they had given me. And after my demise, you should take good care of them. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went on. And he says to the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, قَدْ دَنَا مِنِّي حُقُوقٌ مِّن بَيْنِ أَزْهُرِكُمْ. The time has come for me to fulfill all outstanding rights. Whatever rights I owe towards you, I need to fulfill those rights. And he goes on to further explain. He says, if I lash anyone's back, then here is my back, he can come and take revenge. If I offended any person's honor, then here is my honor, he can take revenge now. And if I had taken any person's wealth, then here is my wealth, he can come and take whatever belongs to him. And then he goes on to say that no one should feel that if he has to come and claim his right now, that I will begrudge him. I will harbor ill feelings towards him. Because inna shahna'a laysat min tabi'ati wala min sha'ni. So a person may feel, how am I going to go and claim for my right? What Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam will think about me? He will have some ill feelings for me. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says that no one should think like that. Because ash-shahna laysat min tabi'ati wala min sha'ni. Very great words of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May Allah make it a reality for us as well. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, harboring ill feelings is not within my nature. It's not my nature for me to harbor ill feelings. And for us, unfortunately, it has become second nature. It has become second nature to harbor ill feelings. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that this is not within my nature. Wala min sha'ni. And it is not in keeping. And it does not befit my high position that I harbor ill feelings towards people. So whoever needs to come and claim whatever belongs to him, he must come. He should not feel that I am going to begrudge him. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam explains the reason why he is insisting that people must come and take whatever belongs to them. They must come and demand their rights. He says, because I want to meet my Allah wa ana tayyibun nafs. I want to meet my Allah happily with a clear conscience. And again, this is a very, very important point, that we have outstanding rights, and there is one day that we are going to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well. We don't know when that day will come. For Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, although Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam never oppressed anyone, he did not usurp the wealth of anyone. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not attack the integrity and honor of any person. So there was no need for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to do this. But Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did this as a lesson for the ummah. For Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he knew when his time was up, when the time of his demise was close. For us, we don't know when it can happen. Therefore, at every given moment, our records need to be clear that we don't have any outstanding rights. And if there are anything like that, any outstanding rights, then all of this needs to be documented. That I owe so a certain person so much of wealth, etc. All of it needs to be documented so that we can meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَنَحْنُ طَيِّبِينَ طَيِّبِينَ nafs. We can meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with a clear conscience and happily. Thereafter, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam exhorted the Sahaba radiallahu anhum that if anyone owes anything to the public treasury, then he should come and return what he owes. If a person had taken something from the public wealth, then and he unjustly took this, then he should come and return it. But then there will be something which will stop a person, which will become an obstacle, and that is, what's going to happen if I come to give it back? What will people say? I will be disgraced. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam addressed this as well. And he said, La yaqul fuduhu dunya, that no one should stop and refrain from paying back what he had taken out of fear that he will be disgraced in this world. This should not stop a person. The fear of disgrace should not stop a person. Why? Inna fuduha ad-dunya aysaru min fuduhi al-akhirah. Again, very, very profound words of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says that disgrace in this world is far easier than disgrace on the day of Qiyamah. Many a times we are stopped, we are held back from asking for maafi, from setting our record straight, from sorting out our issues. Why? Because of the fear of disgrace. The fear of disgrace stops us from doing a lot of good things and from sorting out many issues. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, you rather be disgraced in this world, but you will be saved from the disgrace of akhirah, because the disgrace of this world is far easier and far lighter than the disgrace of akhirah. Thereafter, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam encouraged the Sahaba radiallahu anhum that if anyone has any need, he should request for du'as. There were different sahaba radiallahu anhum that requested du'as for spiritual illnesses that they had. Sahabi says that, O Nabi of Allah, I'm a liar. O Nabi of Allah, I am a hypocrite. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made du'a for them. Again, when one of these sahaba, he says that I'm a liar, I'm a hypocrite, and there is no sin except that I have committed it. Umar radiallahu anhu says to him, that why are you disgracing yourself? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stopped him. He said, Mah ya Umar, ya Mah ya ibn al-Khattab. O ibn al-Khattab, take it easy. Fuduhu al-dunya aysaru min fuduhi al-akhirah. This is not disgrace. He is asking dua from the Nabi of Allah to sort out his problem here so that he will be saved from the disgrace of akhirah. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua for these various sahaba radiallahu anhum that requested duas. Thereafter, after concluding this khutbah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes to the home of Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha, where the woman had gathered. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advised the woman as well. And thereafter, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked them, exhorted the woman to request for du'as. There was a woman that spoke and she says, O Nabi of Allah, she gestured towards her tongue. She indicated towards her tongue, referring to her not controlling her tongue correctly and not speaking correctly. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua for her also. Aisha radiallahu anha says that thereafter I saw this woman and she was a completely changed person. She would speak a lot of good. She would encourage people to do good to such an extent that she would even encourage me. And she would say, Oh Aisha, perform your salah well. So this was the barakah of the dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. These were golden opportunities that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave the sahaba radiallahu anhum for them to request du'as. And the sahaba radiallahu anhum, they maximized on these golden opportunities that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave them. But we find that these sahaba radiallahu anhum, they did not make du'a for dunya. When we have an opportunity for du'a, then the only du'a we make is du'a for dunya. Yes, we make du'a that Allah keeps us comfortable in dunya. There's nothing wrong in making that du'a. However, they capitalize on these opportunities for them to receive du'as and request du'as regarding their spiritual illnesses, regarding things that relating to akhirat. Therefore, the importance of us focusing on these issues, on our problems, spiritual illnesses. One is we need to admit and acknowledge that we have these problems. The sahaba radiallahu anhum acknowledge and they did not feel embarrassed that we have these problems. And through them acknowledging their problems, they earned the du'as of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and thereby they had corrected these illnesses of theirs. So this du'a, this khutbah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he had delivered before the Zuhr Salah. And after the Zuhr Salah as well, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam continued with this khutbah. So the exhortation from the sahaba radiallahu anhum for them to come and claim their rights. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned it before the Zuhr Salah. After the Zuhr Salah, he said that I feel that one announcement was not sufficient. And he repeated this announcement again, that anyone who have usurped any right of his, or any person who I have oppressed, he should come and take revenge now. So after the Zuhr Salah as well, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam continued with this khutbah. Thereafter, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on that Thursday, he performed the Asr Salah with the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, and he also performed the Maghrib Salah with the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. And this Maghrib Salah was the final Salah which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam led completely. This was the last salah that he had led for the sahaba radiallahu anhum. Thereafter, there was one salah that we will discuss inshallah, where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came, but he did not lead the salah completely. Rather, partially Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam led that salah. So that was the last salah that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam led, but this was the last salah completely, which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam led for the ummah, the maghrib on the Thursday. And thereafter, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam remained in this world till that Monday. However, this Thursday Maghrib was the last salah that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had performed. Inshallah, we will continue. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa mawlana Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Jazallahu anna nabiyyana Muhammadan sallallahu alaihi wasallam bima huwa ahlu.